I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, as we continue to study the Ten Commandments. All right. In case there's anyone listening to this message, perhaps on our website, who has not heard the previous messages in this series on the Ten Commandments, we learned in the introductory message that there are at least four purposes for the Old Testament law, which includes the Decalogue. And I mention this because very many Christians sort of ignore the Old Testament and say, oh, we're living in the New Testament, so all I need to read is the New Testament. And the Old Testament, man, is so boring, you know, and just doesn't seem like that much use to us. Oh, they may read Genesis, because that does have important stuff there, but the rest of that, while we don't really need that. Actually, there is a good purpose for reading all of the Bible. And so the four purposes for the Old Testament law, which includes the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, number one, to teach God's standard, which is absolute perfection. Secondly, to teach the sinfulness of man. He cannot keep even these simple Ten Commands. Number three, to bring man to the conclusion that a mediator was needed if sinful man was ever to approach a holy God. And number four, to give redeemed men a guide to transformed living, that is, living the Christian life enabled by the Holy Spirit. Now, we learned that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God come in the flesh, Emmanuel, perfectly fulfilled all the law for us and died on the cross to pay the penalty for all our sin, that is, our failure to keep the law of God. So that all who repent of their sin and put their complete faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation receive forgiveness of sins, receive his credited righteousness, and receive eternal life. We learn finally that redeemed men are now enabled to keep the law through the power of Christ. This morning we come to the fifth commandment, a command that is broken regularly by every child, until, if he has godly, courageous parents, he is brought to the point of beginning to keep this commandment, at least outwardly, by means of biblical discipline and love. Now, before I continue, I've got to make sure I don't drink Marco's water. Okay, getting my own water here. There we go. All right. See, I am awake. Okay, so we see then that the purpose of this message is not to expand on child training principles. That will be covered more thoroughly in future messages as the Lord leads. The purpose of this message is, number one, to expose our failure, number two, to explain God's ways, and number three, to exhort us to carry out God's will in this area. So let me read our text again as we begin, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Let's consider first God's command. Honor your father and your mother. Honor is a term that primarily focuses on attitude toward parents, because attitudes in turn motivate actions and words. In the Old Testament Hebrew, this word, kavet, translated honor, means to make heavy or weighty, to honor, to glorify. So in the New Testament, the equivalent Greek word, tima, means to place a high value on, to revere, to reverence, to honor. In fact, tima is the word used in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, which is directly quoting from Exodus 20, verse 12. Let me read that for us, Ephesians 6, 2. Honor, tima, your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The consistent meaning in both the Old Testament and New Testament usage in this context is to place a high value and respect on your parents and their word. Keep in mind here that parents are God's delegated authority over their children during their childhood years. By the way, this is the general rule. There are wicked parents. I am totally aware of that. In fact, I counsel with people who are either married to a wicked parent or not their parent, but a wicked spouse that is a parent of someone. Okay, someone here. There we go. Nobody has their mute on. Now we've muted all. Okay. Where was I? Okay. I am very well aware that there are some wicked parents. In fact, some spouses are married to another spouse that is a wicked parent to their children. And so therefore, this sometimes you wonder, well, do we have to obey this if they're like that? Well, no, not in every situation. But that takes special circumstances, and you have to be careful that you don't throw out the rule because of the exception. And so be careful of that. The rule is to honor your father and your mother. Now, the action then that would follow the attitude of honoring one's parents is respectful obedience. This habit of respectful obedience in all things is taught elsewhere in Scripture as well. If you want to keep your place in Exodus 20 and just kind of flip to Proverbs, I'm going to read a couple places in Proverbs, Proverbs 29, verse 15, as well as Proverbs 30, verse 17. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. We could probably add an irritation to his father. I don't know. But anyway, the point is that you need to use the rod and reproof. Now, Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Now, in context here, sounds kind of bloody here, but the context here was that in Israel, not today, but in Israel, in their economy, God told them that if they have a rebellious son, that they were to stone him. So that dead son would then have his eyes picked out by the ravens and the young eagles would eat it. That sounds very gory, but you can understand that God meant it to be very definitely important. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, which you heard earlier. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, quoting from Exodus chapter 20, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. We used to joke about that you live long because then they won't kill you, you know. Okay, in Israel, that would have been true. Today, it's not literal. But the point is that God will give long life as a general rule to those who honor their parents. By the way, do you have to agree with everything your parents believe? Do you have to agree with everything your parents ask you to do? No. However, if it doesn't go contrary to the Scriptures, you give respectful obedience. You don't have to believe the way they do if what they're believing is wrong against Scripture. So the point is the respect. You show respect, even if you actually have to respectfully decline from obeying something that they're asking you to do. But you had better show them from the Scriptures why you respectfully decline from obeying that. The point there is that respect, because you want to uphold God's rule here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. failure to obey respectfully was condemned in the strongest of terms and punishable by the severest of judgments in Old Testament Israel. And I've already mentioned that, but let me read the passage that explains that. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. It's important to note here that this final punishment was only invoked when the child reached his mid-teens, after the parents had been faithful in disciplining him as a child and teaching him, and he was still rebellious and disobedient. God is very much against rebellion against authority. And that's an important principle for us to understand and put into our lives. Notice as well that the Holy Spirit lists disobedience to parents among a black catalog of great evils in at least two places in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, verse 30. Slanderers, there's the list, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Then there's another list in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. As is pointed out in Ephesians 6, verse 1, obedience is absolute in the case of a Christian home, where it is assumed that parents would be asking children to do that which pleases God. Children in an unsaved home may be faced with having to respectfully refuse to obey any command from parents that contradicts God's commands, because God is the higher authority. You understand here then that obedience to authority is what God places us under. And only when our lesser authority is going against God's higher authority do we refuse to obey that lesser authority. But in all that, we are respectful. I remember reading in the book of Daniel. How many of you remember reading the book of Daniel, especially chapter 1, where Daniel was taken captive by the Babylonian army and taken to Babylon? And they were told to disobey one of the commands that God had given Israel concerning what they ate. And so Daniel respectfully declined. He requested that he not do this. Notice he didn't demand and say, "Hey, it's my right. You don't understand." No. He respectfully declined to obey and asked if he could eat something else. Well, God blessed that attitude of wanting to obey wherever possible, but declining when it went against God's commands for him. And we see all the way through the book of Daniel that God blessed Daniel in a very special way. In fact, he gave him some prophecies that even we've been studying today in Sunday school about the last days. So it's important to understand this. Now, one last principle I need to mention here is that with the exception of anything that is contrary to what God commands, respectful obedience towards your parents in all things is not conditioned upon whether or not they are model parents. It goes without saying that some parents are better than others, but God does not give you permission to disobey or be respectful if your parents do not meet your expectations. The only exception is that if they should ask you to do something that is contrary to God's command to you. This is clearly taught by the commands given children in the scripture passages we've read so far. You can see the principle of this in God's command to servants in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. So the principle there is carried out in every area where there's authority and those under that authority. And it's important to understand that principle. Now, we've seen first then that to honor your parents means to place a high value and respect on your parents and their word. And secondly, that attitude will result in respectful obedience to your parents until adulthood is reached. Thirdly, honor is to be directed toward both parents alike. In all the scripture passages we've referenced in this message, both mom and dad are treated alike. A fourth principle in regard to honoring your parents is that honor is to be given to parents according to the appropriate stage in life. As a child still under your parents' care, obedience is to be absolute. Of course, as you grow older into your teen years and are demonstrating responsible, godly attitudes, behavior, and decision-making, your parents will expand your privileges and areas in which you're allowed to make your own decisions. Parents, that's important for you to understand. As soon as you detect that they have the ability and the attitude to make godly decisions, encourage them to do this. Give them that freedom to do this. As an adult setting up your own home apart from your parents, the respect and honor is still to be demonstrated to them, even though obedience is no longer a requirement by God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, the first part of that says, "Every one of you shall reverence," meaning respect, "his mother and his father." When your parents are old and feeble, perhaps even feeble-minded, as well as body, there is still an obligation to treat them with respect and honor and not despise them nor neglect them. In fact, the Lord Jesus condemned the Pharisees who tried to shirk their responsibilities toward their elderly parents. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 7? Mark chapter 7. And verse 9 through verse 13. Mark 7, verse 9. "He was also saying to them, 'You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down. And you do many such things such as that.'" Well, as well, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, as well as verse 16. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." Verse 16, "If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed," that is, without any children or grandchildren. So having understood the commands and principles taught in Scripture regarding honoring your parents, let's consider, secondly, Christ's example. Christ honored the position of his earthly parents, even though, as God the Son, he was infinitely greater than they. Luke chapter 2, would you turn there with me? Luke chapter 2 and verses 46 through 51. Luke 2, verse 46. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and notice the next phrase, he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Please note here, there is a false idea promoted today that somehow a person in authority over you must earn your respect before you need to submit to him. You will not find that supported by Scripture. In fact, the opposite is true, as we saw a few moments ago in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Let me read that again for us. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, who have earned your respect, but also to those who are unreasonable." Respect is not only to be given to those who earn it, but it is to be given to those whom God has commanded you to give it, to those who are in authority over you. In Jesus' situation, his earthly parents were in a position of authority over him until he was an adult. Therefore, he submitted to their authority, even though in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 51, which I read to us, they did not understand his need to be about his father's business in his father's house. They forgot that his father was God the Father. Notice as well that Christ made provision for his earthly mother, Mary, as he was dying on the cross. Would you turn with me to John chapter 19? John chapter 19 and verses 25 through 27. John chapter 19, verse 25. "Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." Who was he speaking to? Well, the writer of this gospel was John. And so therefore, it was John that he was speaking to. The example of our Lord Jesus here clearly adds great weight to the scriptural commands for adult children to care for their parents when they are old and no longer able to take care of themselves. By the way, could Jesus physically take care of Mary after he rose from the grave? No, he couldn't physically take care of her. So therefore, he gave that job to someone who was reliable and trustworthy, and that was the Apostle John. And that gives us an example that when we can't take care of our parents because we are somewhere else, for instance, on the mission field, like Brenda and I are, we entrust our parents to someone who is reliable to take care of them. And I was very thankful to see the example of my parents in regard to their parents before they died. And it's important to take care of them, even if you have to pass the job on to someone who is reliable, just as Jesus did here. So before we conclude this message, consider with me finally God's promise for those who obey this commandment to honor your father and mother. Because that verse goes on to say in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Obviously, this command was originally given to Israel. All 10 of these commandments were given to Moses by God to Israel, or for Israel. Although God's moral law, touched on by 9 of these commandments, is also applicable to believers in the New Testament era, you can see that the promise of living long on the land especially resonated with Israel. In view of the fact that God had promised them a land where they would dwell as a nation under God's rule and care. However, the part of this promise that perhaps pertains to long life is emphasized again in the New Testament, we who are not Israel. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. There comes a promise, verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Interesting, instead of the land of Israel, changes it to earth, because it's the same word in Hebrew, okay? Does this mean that honoring your parents your entire life will guarantee you will live past retirement age? Well, so far, Brenda and I are, okay, we live past 65, ooh, okay. I believe that is the general rule, although God may have a specific good purpose in taking one of his children home to heaven early. At the very least, I believe it indicates that you will live longer than you would if you did not honor your parents. God does not even have to interfere directly in order to carry out this promise, for at least one reason that I can think of. An individual who makes it a habit of failing to respectfully obey and honor his parents in his childhood, if he does not repent and trust Christ as Savior and change his ways, will usually continue in his adult years to disobey and disrespect other authority figures placed over him, not to mention disobey laws he chafes under. This will lead to the kind of lifestyle that will shorten his life and remove any joy or blessing he could have had in it. I hope you can see that this command is not only still applicable today, but is even reinforced as a foundational characteristic of a spirit-filled Christian, a willing submission to God through honoring parents and any other delegated authority that he places in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. In a few minutes, I'll close this message in prayer, but before I do, would you allow the Holy Spirit to use his word in your heart? Would you respond to whatever he is showing you? Children, has the Holy Spirit convicted your heart of failure in this area of your life? Are you honoring your parents by willing submission, respectful attitude, and obedience in all things? Adults, are you honoring your elderly parents? Christian, are you honoring all those whom God has placed as an authority over you in some aspect of your life? The Lord speak into your heart about something we've covered in this message. Would you respond to him by confessing and forsaking your sin and asking him for his grace, his enablement to glorify him by obeying what he has shown you? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm not asking anyone to raise their hands because I don't want them to fight against whatever you're convicting them of. But Lord, I pray that in their hearts right now, that they would be responding to what you are saying to them as a result of what we have studied today from your word. Father, I pray that you would do that work of grace in every heart, the work of conviction, the work of changing their minds. And Lord, I pray that whatever needs to take place in their hearts and minds, that they would respond to you so that they may obey your word in this area of honoring parents and by extension, other authorities in their lives. Father, I pray that you would use what we have learned today or been reminded of today to help us to fine-tune our attitudes toward authority and to maybe stir up our minds in what we can do to demonstrate our honor to our parents. And Lord, I pray that you would do this for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.